Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
What Came Next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening. T is an incredibly resilient, multi-crime survivor from Madagascar. She first joined a dating app in her mid-20s with the hope of finding the love of her life. She wasn't expecting to be swept off her feet and away to America, but life had other plans for her. However, when she arrived, she was shocked to quickly learn the highly abusive nature of her new husband's actions. T soon found herself escaping a marriage with a man who not only worked to systematically crush her spirit, but also allegedly sex trafficked her. Her heartache didn't end there, though. After freeing herself and fleeing to another state, T watched from afar as her ex-husband's violence reached an insurmountable point. The Broken Cycle Media team is in deep awe of T's resilience, and we are incredibly grateful for her vulnerability amidst these episodes.
That side of my husband that I didn't know was showing more and more. I got this phone, no internet, no Facebook, no way to do anything. I was just surviving. Whatever he was giving me, I'd be happy. I finally got my green card and I got a job. So I worked at the place where he was working, a pizza place. So at first, I was going to work with him because we had only one car. And then we got another car for me. I got my license. At the same time, while I was working at the pizza place, I was working at the strip club. He was at home taking care of the son. The son has to be in bed at 9 o'clock because he has school the next day. His son was sleeping with us. We had a big bed and we were sleeping all together. He was 11 years old at that time. It was awkward, but that's what he prefer. I get off at 11 o'clock. I get home and he was drunk. And the son was playing video game at 11:30. He said, it's your fault for being at work. And he wanted to say goodnight to me. So he stayed up late. Why is it my fault that I go to work late to find money? I don't have any choice. And he ran up to me, punched me in the face. My nose was bleeding. It was horrible. That night, I was thinking about leaving, but to go where? The next day. He was so proud of telling me this story of his friend, telling his wife, I can kill you and bury you behind the garage and nobody's gonna know. I got chills because it was a way for him to threaten me. Nobody is going to come looking for me. I just got so scared. he had another setup of weekends for me. This time it was involving him dressing up like a girl and get fucked by a guy. We had three people signed up for it. We went to the hotel and for some reason, all those guys did not come. He was upset about that. We booked the room. Now we lost money. I was like, so what do you want to do? It's already done. Is it my fault also? He did not say anything. He just looked at me with that death stare. And then he was like, you have to fuck me with this dildo. So I did. And this is going to be freaking gross, but I have to say it. He pooped all over the room and he was ashamed of that. He grabbed me like it was my fault. He choked me so hard and then punched me at the same time, like I was a punching bag. And I did not understand because I did whatever he wanted me to do and I still got beaten up. That night, I slept in the car the whole night and he was sleeping in the room. It was October. I was freezing in the car. I got sick the next day. One day at the club, this guy was very interested in me. My idea was telling him about my story so he can help me get out. This was in December 2019. This guy was so drunk. He called me at 2 in the morning with that little phone that I had. And my husband found it. Did I get someone wanted to have sex with me? If they want to have a night with me, he's okay with that. As long as I tell him. But with this guy right here, because I did not tell him, it's a problem. I was cheating on him, he said. I just told him that I gave him my number in case he wanted something and I can ask you later. And he did not buy it. So he called the guy and was like, do you want to fuck my wife and I have to watch for $500 or $1,000, something like that. The guy hung up. My husband had this rage in him. He locked the door on me upstairs in the bedroom. He went by a bunch of alcohol and he was drinking throughout the day. I was locked in the room. He gave me a bucket to pee on. No food, no water, nothing. He was drinking downstairs and he was shooting on the guns outside. I'm like, what is he gonna do to me? And then he come upstairs. He was already buzzed with all the alcohol he was drinking and confront me with all that bullshit about the phone and all that. All of a sudden, he was telling me, I'm gonna send you back to Madagascar. I was so happy. I did not show him I was happy, but I said, okay, if that's what you want, then send me back to Madagascar. He was there on the phone, looking for a plane ticket. Day goes by, he was drinking, he was eating. I wasn't allowed to do anything. He did not touch me at this point, but I was like, what is he trying to do? And I heard gunshot outside and I'm like, I'm dead. He comes back. He started to beat me up nonstop for I don't know how long. He put his finger through my clothes and started to dig in on my vagina with everything on still. It was hurting me so bad. And he started to take off everything. He started aggressively raping me and then beat me up again until he was tired, get a beer downstairs, and then comes back. And then here we go again. What he told me that I think it's so evil. He was like, where is your God now? because I was calling, oh my God, please stop. Mind you, I am 4'10 and he was 6'4. He was fighting me like I was his size and I was fighting him. I was trying to protect myself, but I was too little. I had no strength anymore. He choked me so long that I blacked out. He let go and I came back. I nearly died. He finally grabbed his gun. It was loaded and it was on my temple. Just a little movement, I would have been gone. But he pulled the gun from my head. He was telling me that he booked a flight and he picked the seat in the middle so I don't get comfortable with all the bruises and everything I have. And then he was like, when you go to the airport, you're gonna pass the police and they're gonna ask you what happened. You're not gonna say anything because if you say anything, I'm gonna go to jail for a month. I get out, I'll find you and I'm gonna kill you and I'm gonna kill all your family. I've been nothing but sincere to him and this is what I get. I was crying and crying. He did not kill me. At least I'm gonna go back home to my family.
Hi, friends. Since I know you're a fan of the stories that we tell here on What Came Next, you're gonna love the podcast, Truer Crime. It's smart, gripping, and always makes you think. Host Celicia Stanton brings a powerful, personal, and deeply insightful perspective to the true crime genre. She digs deep into every case, pulling back the curtain, not just on what happened, but why it happened, how it was handled, and who got left behind. The stories covered on Truer Crime are rich, human, and they challenge what you thought you knew without cliches or easy answers. I personally love how the show balances well-known cases like Jonestown and the Manson murders with stories you've never heard. A talk radio host gunned down in his driveway, a deadly prison riot in Ohio, a famous author, and the man wrongfully convicted of her rape. There's always a twist, always a surprise, and always something deeper beneath the surface. Truer Crime is the perfect podcast if you love deep diving, because every month there's a new case with gripping storytelling and thought-provoking details that keep you hooked. If you're tired of formulaic true crime and you want something nuanced, fresh, and thoughtful, Truer Crime really delivers. And season 3 of Truer Crime is airing now. Follow Truer Crime wherever you get your podcasts and catch new episodes every week. Then go back and dive into the back catalog to bring even more unforgettable stories.
When I thought it was done, he comes back. He started to beat me up again. He banged me on the wall. He banged me on the window. I thought it was gonna break. Like, how can you be so angry at someone? He was finally tired. At this point, I don't know what time was. It felt like forever. Like my life was in a loop, in hell. He put the gun by me and he said, it's ready. If you want, the gun is right there. Just kill me when I am sleeping. And I'm like, yeah, right. You just want to test so you can beat me up more? So I pushed the gun away. He was like, fine, you don't want to kill me? Can I have a last hug then before you go back to Madagascar? I crawled up on the bed. He hugged me and we were there for I don't know how long. He was sleeping and I was there laying with him. I had my mind set. I have to get out of here because this guy right here is never gonna let me go. I heard him snore. I'm like, okay, this is the time for me to leave. I grabbed the phone. I grabbed my money that he doesn't know I had because I was planning on leaving. So I was putting money away since it was cash at the strip club. I grabbed all of that. I couldn't take the car because I didn't want for him to hear the garage door opening and catch me. So instead, I walked in the snow. I went from neighbor to neighbor. Nobody was opening for me. I had to go to a lady that liked me so much. She's from the church. I was like, okay, I'm gonna go there. But it's like a mile away and it's freezing outside. I ran, and then when I saw a car, I had to hide behind the trees because what if it was him? So I had to go in the trees, walking until I got to their house. I knocked on the door. Nobody was answering. And I'm like, please, God, open the door. They were scared seeing someone at midnight at the door. She was like, what happened? What are you doing here? I told them what he did to me, all the story. And then she was like, that's not right. You have to call the police. I told her, I don't want to call the police. No, you have to call the police. She called 911. They wanted me to talk, and I didn't want to talk because I was still scared. I was like, he told me if I get the police involved, he's going to go to jail for a month. He's going to get out, find me, and he's going to kill me and all my family. The detective on the phone told me, I assure you, he's not going to do anything to you. And then they asked if I wanted an ambulance. I did not even feel anything at that time because I was in a shock. The lady that was beside me said she was choked. She has bruises everywhere. So yes, send the ambulance. They hide me in the bathroom. And the lady's husband had gone. 45 minutes later, the police knock on the door. The ambulance was checking on me. And they went to the house, arrested him, and take pictures of everything that was happening. The bucket, the house was a mess because of the struggle we both had. Afterwards, they took me to the hospital. They did the x-ray, scanning my head. Everything was fine. I just had one broken rib. What was broken the most was my mental. I ran away because I was scared to die. But then after everything, the emotion settling in, I wanted to die. My life was over. In Madagascar, if your marriage doesn't go right, that's a shame. And what people think is most important. That's in our culture. I was thinking about that. And I was like, what was I thinking being so happy that he sent me home? And then what? Facing all those people, I'm like dead anyway. They were asking me, how is my mental health? I told them, I want to die. And they sent me to a shelter where there is advocate and therapy. I did not start the therapy. I was just at the shelter. For days, I did not eat anything. I was just starving myself. I haven't taken a shower. I didn't even drink water. For days, I was so skinny. I was like 80 pounds and I was on the bed all the time. Someone figured out I wasn't moving at all. They took me to the hospital and they put in fluid. They did not hospitalize me for a behavioral thing. They just sent me back to a shelter. It took time, but I got better. When I got better, I started looking for a job. I did not have a vehicle. It was winter. And I was walking all the way to McDonald's where I was working from a shelter. And I had to look over my shoulder all the time, every day, because I was so paranoid he would send someone to follow me. It was a nightmare. He was in jail from December to February. I heard he was gonna get out of jail from a bond. And I'm like, I gotta find a way to get out of here. And that's when I drove from Michigan to Arizona. 3 nights and 4 days. Driving. I got in here and I got a job. I was working as a caregiver for someone in home. I filed for divorce and he always changed his lawyer, purposely not giving me the divorce. And then COVID hit and he got out of jail. The detective called me. He's bailed out. So he was in jail for 2 months. His mom bailed him out. And I heard he was looking for me. I was scared. So it was good for me to be inside a house and take care of someone, secluded from the outside world. July 2020, I started getting letters from my husband because I had to get a new driver's license. I have to be on the lease of the apartment. So I think that's how he found me. But I did not think a lot about it. And then time goes by. I moved out of that house because the lady that I was taking care of died. So I lived in Tempe. So new address. I did not change my ID or anything. I just have Amazon things. And then in February 2021, I met my husband. We were friends at first. After a long year of not having anyone romantic, I was ready to live again. So that's how I found my husband. We moved together like after only a month together, and I got pregnant soon after that. I get a text from my new apartment that I have mail at my old address. So I had to pick it up, and I got this big package with letters and then Bible highlighting verses about marriage. This is him. He found me. He sent videos to my sister pleading for me to come back. There is no fucking way for me to come back. April 2021, I had an appointment with a FBI agent to tell my story because they found a lot of things about the sex trafficking he was doing. So I met with the lady. I brought the Bible thing. I had gloves on because the box was suspicious. She was like, when he's gonna be judged, he's gonna get a bunch, not only from the federal crime, but from the domestic violence. We're gonna put him away for a long time. I was so relieved hearing them telling me that.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
I was pregnant at that time. It was stressing me out a lot. And I ended up having a miscarriage in June, 2 months after. I didn't work at that time. So I was always at home in my new apartment. I was cooking food for my boyfriend at the time. When I heard a knock on the door, I opened the door and I see flowers and balloons and his mom standing there. I ran in, slammed the door, and called the detective that his mom is here, but I don't see him. We didn't know if he was there or not. He wasn't allowed to leave the state, but who knows? He could have left without nobody knowing. I was so scared. She left because my boyfriend chased her away. She left the balloon and the flower along with a letter. She wrote to me and she said, "Drop the charges. Neither my grandson or I did something wrong to you." I was so mad. "You don't have anything to do with this story. You were right. You did not do anything to me. But your son did, so that's why your son is going to jail." He was an only son, so of course, his parents would do anything for him, would believe anything he says. I understand that, but that's not my problem. I was traumatized. I just lost a baby, and I had that episodes with the ex-mother-in-law. So we moved again, and then I had a confidential address. The FBI people were working with me to put everything, my ID, all my mails going to the fake address. He didn't know where I was, and I did not hear anything anymore. I had a peaceful life until January 2022. I got a call from the detective that my husband went to Chicago, shot his ex-wife, and he's nowhere to be found. So you have to go somewhere and hide. I was at work at that time. My legs got jelly and I was crying because I didn't know what to do. This is a nightmare. But an hour later, they called me that they found him with a gunshot on his mouth and he's dead. I dropped on the floor. I had a mix of feelings. I didn't know if I was happy or I was sad because this man was once the man I loved. It was my husband. I felt so sorry for Laura. She was a good mother. She did not deserve that. I still feel sorry and feel responsible, but I was relieved that I didn't have to think about him anymore, think about what is next move, because moving how many times, I still was looking around me. I was paranoid, and knowing that he is dead, all that weight that I had on my shoulder was all gone. Work, they let me go home. I saw my husband. I cried of happiness and sadness. He still told me, "Sorry for your loss, even if it's not my loss." Then we had dinner and I slept good. I am fortunate I am still alive. I had in total 3 miscarriages plus the traumas. I was dealing with trauma, but grief also. So I had to work a lot with therapists and group therapy. I got medication, which helped me a lot, lowering my depression level, helping me live better. I went to classes about domestic abuse. I learned a lot of things. And I had some coping skills that I found out works for me. I go for a walk a lot. I listen to music. I love singing. So I go to karaoke. That's how I met my now husband. My husband and I are very loving. We got married in 2023. We went back to my country 4 months ago. And we got married there for my family also. It's like an achievement for me compared to what I went through. It's not the happy ending or anything, but it's better than what I lived when I came to America. I still keep going to the therapy, taking my medication. I am not fully healed. I still have some flashbacks, but I feel at peace that I don't need to be thinking about that situation anymore. I am making this podcast because I feel ready to let go of things, not forgetting them, but because I feel at peace, I wanna spread awareness to people who might be in the same situation as I. My husband's family, they were curious about what happened. I shared at that time. They are very kind and they're very supportive of everything. But this is the first time publicly sharing.
I'm just so thankful that you would be willing to share with me and with our audience. How does it feel to get it out?
It feels good. There were sad moments, hard to say. My battle is not over yet, but it makes me relieved.
What would you say to people that are listening that might have gone through similar things or maybe just heard something you shared and related to your emotions?
If you are still in the situation and you're listening to this, you can do it. Don't think, oh, he apologized today, so I think we are good. No, it's just a way for him to manipulate you so you can stay forever. Believe yourself. You are the bravest person in the world. I have this tattoo on my arm, which says strong and brave, because that's what I think I am. And it's engraved on my skin, and nobody can take it away from me. You are that person also. Whoever you are strong and you are brave.
On January 18th, 2022, T's former husband murdered his first wife, then turned the gun on himself. Although he had been facing potential state and federal charges prior, the murder-suicide he executed ended the criminal justice process. For more information about human trafficking in America, please listen to What Came Next, Episode 22, featuring John Michael Lander, titled An Athlete's Silence. And follow Truer Crime wherever you get your podcasts and catch new episodes every week. Then go back and dive into the back catalog to bring even more unforgettable stories.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
Pretty much from the first minute of my first day in year five, I'd basically just walked into a battle zone. I was beaten within the first 5 minutes of that class, and then that didn't stop for that whole year. He started calling the boys up to the desk. One by one, he made you sit on his lap, and as soon as he sat on his lap, he started molesting you. And if you pushed away, he strapped you again. There was no in between. You either got away with a warning or you got six straps.
What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram at Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialously. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever. but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.